You know what? I have to confess something to you, Andy. I actually have no idea what this song is about. This could be a song about the Confederate flag and bringing back slavery. I wouldn't know it.
Wow. Sound good.
I have no idea what this is about.
That is a really dark interpretation, LZ, of Back in Black. The explanation you just gave. Oof. That is a...
I'm just saying I have no idea what this song is about.
I'll be honest, I've been hearing this song since I was like 7 or 8 years old. I couldn't tell you what half the lyrics are. I can't understand Brian Johnson. Like, Brian Johnson is an unintelligible singer. Other than the chorus, I have no idea what the hell he's saying. I've heard this song for like, I don't know, 40 years or whatever. No clue what he's saying.
None. And it's so funny because there are so many classic songs like that. I remember when I finally realized what George Michael was singing with Faith. You know, I didn't know he was saying Before This River Becomes an Ocean. I would be singing Slip, Slip, Sliver, Going in Motion. So I'm sitting there and someone said, what are you saying? I was like, Slip, Slip, Sliver, Go in Motion. That's not the words to the song. It's like, well, it fits the rhythm. Sounds close enough. I have no idea what that scene is Back in Black. I'm about to look up the lyrics right now.
Not a clue. I've never actually looked them up. I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, I can understand the lyrics and You Shook Me All Night Long, but I can understand the lyrics in For Those About to Rock, We Salute You. I have no idea what is being sung in Back in Black. I don't care what's being sung.
I was just joking here. What's going on with these lyrics? Oh, hold on. I'm going to have to redo my whole top 10.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
I'm a little concerned.
Back in Black, I hit the sack. I've been too long. I'm glad to be back. Yes, I let loose from the noose. That's kept me hanging about. I've been looking at the sky. I'm going to stop right there.
Okay.
I'm now uncomfortable.
Okay, to Wikipedia we go. Like, what is the backstory on this? What is the backstory on this song, according to Wikipedia?
Hold up, Raj, this is breaking news.
All right, let's hit it.
Hold on.
Okay.
The lyrics to Back in Black are controversial.
I'm reading right now. According to Wikipedia, an interview that Brian Johnson, who, if people know AC/DC, they'll know Brian Johnson actually replaced their original singer, Bon Scott. And the funny thing is they sound exactly the same. And this was him attempting to fill in those shoes. And Brian Johnson said that basically, like, all right, this is such big shoes to fill. Who cares? So he just put out like mumbo jumbo lyrics, according to him, literally mumbo jumbo, nine lives, cat's eyes, abusing every one of them and running wild. Like, basically, he was just saying crap. So maybe for him, noose, you know, especially too, it's like 1980. And, you know, we really didn't give enough thought.
And they're from Australia.
What this stuff could mean. They are from Australia.
What is that supposed to mean?
So he doesn't know anything about a Confederate flag or stuff like that.
Do you know anything about global history?
Particularly Australia.
You're like, oh, it's Australia. Have you heard of the Aborigines?
Yes.
They're popular.
I was thinking.
Well, popular down there.
It does not sound like Brian Johnson was attempting to make any statement at all with the lyrics. Like, it sounds like he was actually literally just putting out whatever the hell popped into his mind stream of consciousness. But as you said, LZ, anytime noose comes up, it does make you a little bit nervous.
I'm let loose from the noose?
I mean, he just felt like what was constricting him, like he felt like he was constricted and he's let loose from something that felt like was metaphorically around his neck. But yes, upon retrospect, could have gone with a different set of.
Well, I want to see the Dodgers images. Let loose tonight.
Yes.
I want to see the Dodgers let loose tonight. I want to see not one, not two, not three, not four. I want to see five players get hit. Now, I don't want anything dangerous. I don't want anything dangerous, but
no,
I don't want
shots,
anyone
like
to be
that.
Comfortable going to sleep tonight. I don't want anyone being comfortable falling asleep tonight after this game. I want people to be uncomfortable, not being able to find a proper place to rest their bodies because it's too sore from getting hit with a 95-mile-per-hour fastball. That's what I would like to see. And every single time they get hit, I want someone in the back to go, cheetahs, cheetahs,
cheetahs. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you four Astros. You tell me of these four, who should take number one priority in terms of getting plunked? Alex Bregman.
Okay.
Jose Altuve, everybody's favorite little guy until it turned out the cheating. Everyone was exposed. Carlos Correa. Mm-hmm. Or George Springer, the MVP of this tainted, cheated series.
Well, number one is going to be Altuve. Number one is Altuve. Altuve, because he tried to play us for fools, dog.
Yes, he did.
He made up 11 different stories about a tattoo and his wife and him being shy. And please don't take off my shirt. And no. And then the giggle. Oh, the giggle.
Oh. Yeah, I got in trouble with my wife.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, see, every time I hear it, I just want to hit him. Now, I'm pretty sure if we were face-to-face, he could probably beat me up. I'm pretty sure about that. However,
he's a little man. He's a wee man.
No, he's a short man. Don't get it twisted. And the short ones are the most dangerous. They're the most dangerous because you have to get down real low to get them. And on top of that, they tend to have like a lot more like just the lower center of gravity makes it harder to knock them out. So I don't like fighting short people. I don't like wrestling with short people, so I'm not going to try to beat him up.
He might have a Napoleon complex. You never know. Could be like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas.
Psychological welfare. Yeah, that's true. Now, that's not a good look. But so he's first because he tried to play. And then George Springer because he got an MVP out of it, which is like what, a truck or something or a car or something like that. You know, he probably was one of those dudes that didn't even donate it to charity. He probably kept it.
Might as well, man. If you're gonna cheat,
didn't even bother driving it.
Go the whole Monty. If you're gonna cheat, if you're gonna take this thing ill-gotten.
But I'm gonna need on that list. I'm gonna need some space for AJ Hinch. I'm gonna need some space for him because, like Altuve, he tried to play us for fools. He tried to make it sound like he was a victim in all of this. And that he tried to stop it, but his cell didn't work, so he couldn't call anybody. His mouth didn't work, so he couldn't say stop. And he's going to try to convince us that he was so upset about it that he ended up benefiting from it, and he hates himself so much, but he's not going to give you the ring back. Come on, man.
Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be in the stadium to actually plunk him. I don't think he's going to be anywhere around the
team. No. I don't need you in the stadium. No. I'm going to treat it like the Geek Squad. We're going to come to you. You give us your advice. And we're going to swing by and give you your beaming. We're not going to – just like you're not going to be in the stadium when the rings were coming out in case, you know, you won last year and no one's really in the stadium and blah, 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 blah. Just like – it's going to be like this situation. You may not be in the stadium for the beaming, but we're going to FedEx it to you. Don't worry. It's coming.
Drive-by beating. I like it. So then who's number four?
The owner.
Yeah. He deserves a big-time beating. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
He deserves it. He deserves it in the ribs because he ain't got to play tomorrow anyway. So, he can be hurt for a while. That's fine. And then the fifth person on the list, and this one's going to hurt Raj because you know I love this dude, and that's past tense with a D, Justin Verlander.
Ooh.
Because Justin, he rolled up and started making jokes about it in front of other baseball players. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
He made jokes about it. And those jokes didn't go over well. None.
Nope.
And this hurts because, you know, I love some Justin Verlander. I wanted him to be a Dodger. I didn't know he had that in his personality, though. I didn't know he had that in his personality. The kind of guy who can cheat the game, benefit from cheating the game, get busted for cheating the game, and when you have an opportunity to speak to some of the people who were victims in this cheating, you decide to make a joke at the expense, like, ha, 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 the joke's on you. No, I want him beamed too.
Am I remembering correctly? Hasn't Verlander too been high and mighty in the past about certain things in terms of like the integrity of the game, the honor of the game? Like Verlander has spoken out before in ways that make him now look really hypocritical. Like, I mean, just a true hypocrite with this stuff.
Yes. Yes. Which is why it was so disappointing, because he had been so willing to speak out on issues. And you're like going, yeah, this is guy, he's not fearless. Yeah, this is the upstanding guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this comes out, and you're like going, hold up, not only did you know they were cheating, not only did you not say anything to stop them from cheating, but then when you had an opportunity to offer an apology for the cheating, you instead made a joke at the player's expense about the cheating.
That's weak.
And you're like going, so now I'm questioning all the other things against, because I realized that this isn't just simply a lapse in judgment. That was a calculated decision to try to like make light of a situation that the Justin Verlander from Detroit would have never made light of. The Justin Verlander that was in Detroit would have gone off and said some of the things that Cody Bellinger said. But the Justin Verlander that ended up in Houston, he wants to try and pretend like it's not a big deal all of a sudden. So now you look like a front runner to me and not just a runner. And you know what? Actually, make Justin Verlander number two. I just moved him up ahead of George Springer, because now I've talked myself into more anger.
That's good news for George Springer.
More anger now. It is good news for George Springer. He's still getting yours, George. Yeah, well, he's still getting yours. And give that truck away to charity, by the way, George. I know you still got it. Give that truck away, man.
Probably does. Probably that thing has probably just been sitting in his garage collecting dust, done absolutely nothing. He's probably never even sat in that truck. The truck probably got delivered to his house, had them put it in the garage, and he has not done a damn thing with it. And you know why? A, he doesn't need the truck, and B, he knows that truck is a fraud. He knows if he drives around, if he drives around in that truck that entire time he's on the road, it's a reminder of what a fraud he is, what a fraud that team was,
fraud.
A fraud that organization is. Now, here's the thing, though, LZ. Like, the Dodgers need to try to make up some ground, because their opening weekend split against the Giants was disappointing. So on one hand, you have to think about being measured with exacting justice. And, you know, would we lose certain players? Can we afford to lose them? You know, how should we ration this out, being sensible in a 60-game season? But then the flip side might be, you know what? YOLO, go ham, because the season may not finish anyway. The rate we're going right now with this outbreak, there's now 17 Marlins. 17 Marlins have tested positive for COVID. We are one weekend into baseball. That being said, that being the case, you might want to just get all that revenge out of the way now, because there may not be a season to finish.
Yeah, get it in. But you know what? Get it in this season. Get it in next season, too. I mean,
you know what,
I mean,
though?
Seriously.
You need to get it in now, because we don't know there will be a next season. Like, I mean, we everything is so up in the air right now. You never know the viability of all sports moving forward until we have a vaccine. And you don't want to wait that long to get your revenge. I agree, LZ. You get it now. You get it while you know you can have it. You don't even know that you'll get the opportunity to do it at your own stadium in September when the Astros come back. You need to get this thing now. You got to get it out of the way now.
Get it out of the way now. And then, you know, get it out of the way next season and the season after that and the season after that. Like, because the damage to the cheating isn't just about a season. It's a legacy crippling event.
Yes,
it hurts Kershaw's legacy. It hurt Dave Roberts' legacy. It hurts the legacy of this franchise that is still looking to get its first chip since the 80s. Since Michael Jackson was singing he was bad, that's the last time he had a championship from the freaking World Series. So I'm sitting here like going, why should we just think one game, one beaming makes up for the damage? The damage is a long-term damage, because when you win a championship, it puts you in a different stratosphere. And especially in baseball folklore, and that was taken from us. So every single time we face them, we should remind them of what they've done to us, what they did to the game, what they did to themselves. You got Houston fans running around trying to act like they're still champions. Y'all know y'all ain't no real champions. You ain't no real champions, and you know it, and you're faking it, and you need to stop it.
All right, we're gonna talk about what may lie ahead in this two-game series, Dodgers versus Astros in Houston, and also the viability of the season itself with former Major League All-Star Brett Boone. He's coming up next.
Yo, Andy.
Yeah.
Do you drink decaf coffee?
No. It's a waste of time.
I'm just trying to check to see what kind of man you are, just making sure we're on the same page.
I do not drink decaf coffee, ever. Just feels like a waste of time. If I'm going to be drinking coffee, I want the benefits. If I'm going to a decaf, it's usually a decaffeinated tea, like something sort of just like to unwind, whatever. But other than that, no, I'm always going decaf. What about you? Caffeinated. What about you?
Oh, of course I'm not drinking any tea. I'm the one that brought up the question.
And
I don't drink non-alcoholic beer. I don't drink non-alcoholic beer. I don't drink, I don't smoke unless it had a certain number of THC count. I need the THC to be at a certain number. I don't do nothing that they don't have the full benefits of doing it. I don't drink Gatorade with half the sugar, like that Gatorade Zero, whatever that is. No, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
No, you've never struck me, LZ, as a man who likes to have his time wasted or who will put up with the idea of his time being wasted. And decaffeinated coffee, that is wasted time. Ultimately, like, I like the taste of coffee, but it ain't that good. It's not so good. No, I mean, it's
not so good. Oh, fine. Snap. So Max Kellerman is now interviewing Roy Jones Jr., who's supposed to be fighting Iron Mike on September 12th. In Los Angeles. Oh, I'm so stoked. I'm stoked. Raj, you not stoked? You not stoked, baby? Come on now. No, I guess Raj isn't on.
Raj? No, I think Raj is actually trying to help track down Brett Boone. We're going to be talking with him in a second. Former MLB All-Star and somebody who'd have a good perspective on what's going on right now with the Dodgers and Astros, and also just baseball, man. Like, I don't care what they say. I don't care what Rob Manfred says publicly, LZ. They're nervous, man. They have to be nervous at the idea that they are already dealing with this. They've got to be nervous. Even if they were fooling themselves before, they've got to be nervous.
I hope not. I hope he's not nervous. I hope he's not nervous at the first sign of trouble that you set yourself up to get. I hope not. I hope you weren't blindsided that there was an outbreak, considering you did nothing to prevent it. I hope not, because that just makes it sound as if you were doing a thoughts and prayers approach to baseball, as opposed to actually.
Well, you know what? I'm going to put
a contingency plan.
Well, I'm going to put the exact same question to Brett Boone, our guest, former MLB All-Star. Brett, how are you? And if you had to guess. We're just putting you on the spot right away. If you had to guess, do you think Rob Manfred and baseball, that they're nervous, that they're a little bit scared right now and shook at the idea, not just that they'd have an outbreak with what's going on with the Marlins, but that they couldn't even get through the opening weekend without it happening?
Well, when all this came together, I think – when you talk about Rob Manfred, I think there's a lot of criticism that he has to bear for leading up to all this, the negotiations months ago, how it was presented publicly, the PR side of it. I think he deserves a lot of criticism. When it comes to this, I don't know that it rests on him. I think going into this thing, I've always been skeptical. I've been a proponent for let's play. I think it's good for the country. I think it's good for the world. For the people to do it with the rules that are in place and the testing so frequently. I was worried that there was going to be something like this crop up. It was a matter of time and how they're going to deal with this. Everybody knew going in the rules that were in place. I personally, if I were to put myself back into my 30-year-old body in the heyday of my career, I would take this as serious as possible. First of all, I have an allegiance to my organization, to my family. This is what I do for a living. This is my livelihood. So I would be all in on playing. That being said, with the testing protocol, with the rules in place, which everybody knew going in, man, I would do the best job I can as a player to bubble myself, to stay away from everybody, because I know when I come to that ballpark, I got a test today. And whether I'm sick, I'm not sick, it doesn't matter. The rules are the rules. And I have to wait that 72 hours and then another test and then the 24 hours. I mean, I was thinking from day one, it's like starting rotations for me is, you know, these guys hang together. Those five guys are really tight and they sit there. They're with each other day in and it could wipe out an entire rotation. Therefore, they put the 60 player rule, that pool of 60 players. And I said from the beginning, it's tough to really handicap this season, the 60 games. I know everybody's trying to do it. But with these rules, there's a great chance whoever you start with, you're not going to finish with. And so as we get further into this, everybody's going along with this at the same pace. It's like, what are we going to end up with? You know, and they were already talking about it's not a legitimate season. Well, I think they're doing the best they can. But more and more of these, you know, teams can be decimated. Next thing you know, you're playing with a AAA team out there. So I don't know. I yesterday I was on the golf course when all this went down. So it was the first day that I wasn't kind of in there finding out, you know, the all the things going on minute by minute, but I'm just kind of gathering it now, and it's going to be tough, and there's going to be a lot of freaking hoops to jump through, a lot of landmines out there, and I don't know what they can do. The rules are the rules. They're in place. You got to abide by them. You got a 60-man pool, and I think, you know, we're all going forward together on, you know, it's kind of a wait-and-see thing. I don't know. It could be. This could be a nightmare for the Major League Baseball season.
Were they revisited, they being the players and the Players Association? Did baseball go back to them and say, hey, would you consider doing a bubble that we've agreed upon a 60-game season as opposed to a 160-game season? Like, there's a huge difference, and I think a lot of people empathize with, you know, when it was a regular season in a bubble, but a 60-game season didn't seem nearly as bad. Did baseball go back to the players and say, would you do that?
Well, you know what? I don't know what actually happened behind closed doors. You know, I'm not privy to that right now. I know I did talk to my brother right before the season started, and I said, how are you going to address these guys? You know, because I was trying to put myself in their shoes, and I'm just thinking as a player, if I'm a main part of an organization, first of all, we're all men. We're all going to do what we're going to do. We're going to make our own choices. You can't sit there and navigate big league ball players. But I just thought from my perspective, if I'm a player, if I'm a manager, whoever, an intricate part of an organization, I need to be accountable to my teammates, accountable to my organization. So I thought about it for 60 games. You know, and I have a family and kids, and I love them, and I want to come home after a road trip, and the first thing I want to do is hug my kids. But for this 60 games, because I signed on the dotted line, and I'm accountable, maybe I can't come home and stay in my house with my family. Maybe I need to really quarantine myself, stay with my teammates. Because if I make a decision, oh, you know what, I'm home, I just went on a seven-day road trip, I'm going to go out to dinner tonight and do this. Well, whether I'm sick, I have symptoms, it doesn't matter. The fact is, I know the protocol. And the protocol is when I go to that ballpark, I'm going to be tested. And if I'm positive, I don't know where I got it. Maybe I got it from Uber Eats. But the fact is, I can't play. And now I got to look at my teammates, and I can't play. And those teammates got to look at me. So I just think as men, we have to make the decision, the most comparable decisions we can make. We got 60 games to make a run at this, to make this a successful campaign in maybe the most trying sports season of our lifetime. But we're all human beings and we're all creatures of habit. We're not used to doing this, but I don't know. If I was a player, I'd just do the best job I could to whatever the rules were. I have an obligation to my teammates and my organization to do the best job I can to just stay with myself and my peers, my teammates, that close-knit group. But we're human beings. If you got that many guys, you got 800, 1,000 Major League Baseball players, there's going to be some chinks in the armor, and we're starting to see that right now a little bit.
talking with Brett Boone, former Major League All-Star. All right, tonight we got the two-game series kicking off in Houston, Dodgers-Astros. Obviously, a lot of history with that, a lot of animosity, a lot of controversy. How, two-part question for you. How much do you think that still carries over right now with everything that's happened, you know, leading up to this point, you know, like the real-world stuff that's been happening? How much do you think that carries over, and what, if anything, are you expecting to see manifest from that carryover?
Well, I think it's a little bit more. We like to talk about it in the press and from a, you know, just a personal interest, just, oh, what's going to happen tonight? Are they going to get drilled? Are they not going to get drilled? My take is this. As a player, that's the last thing on my mind. Okay, whatever happened with the Astros thing, that's fine. And I have a completely different take on it. I think this is a widespread thing in baseball. It came down on the Astros because of the top of the mountain. You know, on paper, the last two or three years, they've been up there with arguably the best team in baseball. So when you're on top, people are gunning for you. So, yes, they get caught up in this controversy. I don't have all the facts behind the scenes, what went down. You know, all I know is that some pretty high-profile managers stepped down, and they didn't go kicking and screaming. So I can discern from that that there's some pretty – they had them dead to rights in certain capacities. That being said, how it affects a player – the last thing I think about is going into Houston and drilling guys and getting, you know, some justice in, that I can put in my mind. My first thought is to go in there and kick Houston's butt and get, is it a three-game series? I want to come out with two out of three or three wins. That's the last thing I'm thinking about is retributions or who am I going to drill. I'm there to win a ball game. If I've got a personal vendetta with a player or my team has a certain problem with a certain player on that team, well, that will take care of itself when the time is right. But first and foremost, your job is to win the game. And that exterior stuff, if there's a situation, and usually these players aren't going in there talking about, are we going to drill somebody or are we not? That's usually kind of really kept on the down low, and pitchers usually handle those situations. So I don't expect there to be a big deal made of it. I mean, you know, what's different from the Dodgers and Houston? You know, why is it the Dodgers-Houston such a big deal? If people got a problem with the Houston Astros, well, then that should be widespread. It shouldn't be a Dodger thing because the Dodgers got beat for them. As a player, I don't know. I just need more information before I really come down that hard on somebody. I need the facts, and I need to see them in front of my. I'll give you an example.
The facts are they cheated. There was an investigation
They cheated. Correct. But to what extent? You know, they call the Altuve thing. Well, he had something under his jersey. Do I know that he had something under his jersey? If I find out Altuve had something under his jersey, somebody's got an earpiece in, I say throw the book at him. Okay, but until I have those facts, I can't just jump to those conclusions and tell you what I think the consequences should be for their actions. Fact is, they cheated. Fact is, a lot of teams cheat. I know one thing as a player, and when you're in that clubhouse, the only way you know is if you're in that clubhouse, a current player, you know what's going on throughout baseball. And anytime there was a scandal or anything going on, I know one thing. It usually wasn't isolated. It was usually league-wide. So until I know exactly what was going on and that it wasn't widespread, 15, 20 teams, Houston's the best team. They got caught. They should be punished for that. I don't know exactly what was going on. Are they getting – once again, let me make it easy. If they're relaying pitches to a hitter and he's getting some sort of electronic signal, throw the book at him. Strip them of everything. I agree with that. But until I know the facts, I can't really say what I think the correct punishment should be. I really don't. And if we're talking about Altuve and that jersey, that's a conspiracy theory until I have those facts. Because I know what goes on in those clubhouses. And it's not just one team. There could be 15 teams going, I'm glad they're not investigating us right now because we were doing this, this, and this. It's not spoken publicly. But those players know what's going on, and I'm not accusing anybody because I don't have the facts, but I just know usually from my experience as a Major League Baseball player, it's not isolated.
Were your teams cheating? in this capacity where your team's sign-stealing to a certain degree? You can say, there was an investigation done.
No. In my era, I can tell you, we tried to get every edge we could possibly get, but it was the human edge. If a coach, if that catcher got lazy with his right leg, and that coach could see in, if I was on first base and I could peek in, and I could see a signal, I can pick up breaking ball, I'm stealing that next pitch. If I'm at second base and I can decipher your signs, I'm giving that pitch to my hitter, and vice versa. If I get caught, I know the consequences are I'm going to wear one in the ribs. That's an eye for an eye. If I catch you, I'm going to go over to that guy at second base and say, I think you're stealing our signs. And if I find out that you are, you know what's coming. That's how we handle it as players. It's an eye for an eye. Now, that was that era. We're in a new age. We're in 2020. The technology, the data is overwhelming. You're not going to just be able to take away electronics. And I've had this conversation with my dad, who played a generation before me. And I said, what do you think about all this? And he said, you have to get more sophisticated on your signs. You've got to think that when you're coming out of the dugout, every camera is on everything you do. So as a defender, I've got to get a little more sophisticated how I interact with my teammates. That's the only way. You got to assume as a catcher there's a camera on you when you're giving signals every day. You got to get a little more intricate on how you give the signs. That's the only way going forward. 40 years from now, 20 years from now, you're going to have even greater technology. The only way you defend against that is to defend against it with getting more intimate in how you give your signs, because people are going to cheat. People are going to try to get an edge, and I don't care. You know, we can talk about, oh, that's not the right thing to do. That's not real life, and that's not how players think. If they can get an edge, they're going to get one, whether it's electronically or not. Once again, you go electronics, you go earpiece, you go something on your person. It's not the human element. In my opinion, throw the book at them. That crosses the line for me. But I need that. You see what I'm saying? I just need that hardcore evidence in front of me. I got to be able to read it before I can accuse people of what I know. I know one thing. They cheated in some capacity. And so did the Red Sox. And you know, Beltran with the Mets. Something was going on there. But I need to know what it is before I really go hardcore and start throwing out, oh, yeah, he should do this. He should get this thrown at him. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Former MLB All-Star Brett Boone, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. I wasn't happy with your answers, but I respect it.
I appreciate it, man. That's what makes it good.
Speaking of that, there is a lot to unpack from that. We will get into that next, 710 ESPN. The fired up Brett Boone we just had. Talking about
the history of shooting. He was fired up. I'm fired up too, because if you read between the lines, he insinuated that it's quite possible that the Dodgers also cheat. If you really listen to what he was saying about how it's widespread, about how it could be as many as 15 different teams, if you listen real carefully, I presented him a question that was clearly saying we were victimized, and he gave me an answer that says maybe you weren't all victims. That's why I said I respect what you have to say, but I don't agree with it, because my Dodgers are pure.
Not my Dodgers.
They've never stolen. They've never even stolen a grape out of a grocery store when they went shopping in the produce section. They paid for everything. They never even tried to sneak a grape in.
My son, 20 of his friends got caught at a party drinking, but my son was the only one who didn't have anything other than soda. Not my little baby boy, the Dodgers. Not my little baby boy. I mean,
absolutely not. I'm not here for his slander. Slander, I say, slander. Look, now, man, I can't tell you what the Stankies are doing. I can't tell you what the Stankies are doing. I don't know what the Florida Marlins are doing, but whatever they're doing, they need to stop it because they got the Rona. I don't know what the Giants are doing, but I can tell you my Dodgers.
Pure as the driven snow.
My maize is pure as fresh driven snow falling from the heavens above, landing upon mountaintops and the distant beach and a distance that we can still see, but we can't quite touch. Austen novel, I tell you, Andy. A Jane Austen novel.
The type of snow that once it melts, it becomes the freshest of drinking water, like just unspoiled, pure, could nourish the entire planet. That wonderful. Look, man, the Dodgers. All these teams have done stuff. Here. It's just the degree to which you do this.
The Dodgers have not.
They're the one innocent.
Max Muncy is not out there cheating. I'm not here for that. Max Muncy's not cheating. Cody Bellinger's not cheating.
Look at that face on Cody Bellinger. Is that the face of a cheater, I ask you? Is that the face of a cheater? Look at those dumpling rosy cheeks.
Kiki Hernandez is not cheating. Kiki's wife is pregnant. How does he look cheating and he's got a baby on the way? That doesn't even look right.
Oh, man. Oh, I mean, look at every single one of those players, including, by the way, you know who was the one Red Sox that we know for certain didn't do any type of shenanigans in 2018? Mookie Betts. He's the one. He is the only one, I guarantee, took part in nothing that was not above board. You know why? Because he's part of our Dodgers, right? Right, LZ? Yeah. Part of our Dodgers.
I do not like what you're insinuating with your tone, with the way that you're presenting this question. I'm going to need you to back the hell up. You're getting too close to a line that I, for one, am not here for. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, Andy?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You're not going to see me for a while. You're not going to be seeing anyone for a while, unfortunately, with quarantine. You're not going to be seeing any Marlins for a while because that situation ain't getting any better. But I'm not saying the Dodgers don't have a right to revenge, because what the Astros did is egregious. You know, even if they're a little hypocritical, doesn't mean they're a lot hypocritical. And absolutely, I think if they want to take some revenge tonight, it is owed to them, and I wholeheartedly encourage it. Crosstalk coming up next. We'll be joined by George Sedano.
Emmy nominations are out, Andy. Emmy nominations
are
out. And what is leading all Emmy nominees? Watchmen with 26 nominations. 26
really?
Nominations
really?
For Watchmen. How about that in your eyeball?
I did not see that coming. I thought they would get some nominations. I mean, it's a critically acclaimed show. I thought they'd get some love. I didn't think they'd lead the whole thing. That's awesome. That's really cool.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I had an opportunity to interview Regina King not too long ago, and the way she talks about the process of putting that show together. And for those of you who haven't seen it, Watchmen is an outstanding series. Shout out to you, Raj, for hipping me up to it to begin with. But I couldn't stop watching it. And Regina does an absolutely amazing, amazing job. The entire cast does. And it's so good.
She's always great. Like Regina King for so long has like been that actress that every time she shows up in something, she makes it like 10 to 15% incrementally better just by virtue of her presence. And actually years ago, Brian and I interviewed her for our podcast, and she was a fantastic interview. She's an LA native, went to Westchester High, same school as Trevor Ariza and those guys. She was a track athlete. Yeah, she loves sports. She's a big Laker fan, and she is one hell of a talented actress, man. She's awesome. Like, I'll watch anything she's in. So good for her, man. That's really cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Is Sedano
definitely
here?
Definitely glad to hear that.
No Sedano?
I thought the leader was either going to be Succession or Schitt's Creek, which both ended up getting some representation. But I did not picture it was going to be Watchmen. But again, especially when you know everything that Regina King did to get that show off the ground. Because it's really been a labor of love for her and a labor of effort. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yes. Sedano, there you are.
Yo.
Yo, we were just talking about The Watchmen. Emmy nominations are out, and they have 26 nominations leading everybody. Did you see that series, The Watchmen?
I did not. I did not see the series, The Watchmen, so I apologize. I don't even know where it's on. What is it on, Hulu, Netflix?
Oh, my God. You sound like someone with multiple children. Yes, it's on HBO.
Oh, it's on HBO. Oh, there you have it. I want to start watching the Perry Mason reboot, though. I have seen that pop up on HBO a bunch of times. Has anyone seen that?
No, not
yet. Mace was talking about yesterday. He said
it looks good. It looks good.
Yeah.
Mason said it was actually a really good show right now. So that's definitely something people should be watching for. George, you expecting revenge tonight? You expecting revenge down in Houston from the
no.
against the Astros?
No. No. Kenley Jansen was on with us a couple weeks ago and said that he look, he thinks that they're the champs, like as in the Dodgers, but he's not going to throw at anybody, he literally said. And the only guy that's made that that's felt that way, that has said that he may do it, was Ross Stripling, and he's not scheduled to pitch, so.
Commit a crime, you don't admit it beforehand.
Yeah, but here's the thing. True. Right, there's that. And here's the thing. If you're one of the Dodgers players and you actually do that, you're going to get suspended for longer. You're going to get a worse punishment than the Astros did. So what's the point in it?
It just feels good. Like going to Magic City to get some chicken wings. That's not a good idea, but it just feels good.
Well, plus two. I mean, look, George, looking right now, you might as well throw caution to the wind, because who knows if we're actually going to have a full season. So get it in now.
Yeah, your state keeps messing up baseball, George. What's wrong with your state?
According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, that the Marlins acquired the Rona in Atlanta. Maybe they were at Magic City.
Oh, well, no, Georgia's poor Lou Williams. Oh, no.
Dude, Georgia.
They did practice games in Atlanta for a couple nights before they went to Philly.
So they're blaming Atlanta.
Yeah, they hadn't been in Miami in a couple of weeks, in a week or so.
Look, but what were they doing in Atlanta besides baseball?
I mean, you know, you've lived there.
I don't know.
If they were doing what I was doing in Atlanta, we got a different story.
All right, Sedano Show coming up next. I'll be back with LZ tomorrow, 710 ESPN.